welcome to the Alarpa podcast. How are you doing, Mary?
Very good.
A little bit tired.
No, okay.
We've just suffered a crushing, fatal disappointment. We've been trying for the last 2 weeks to liaise with a harpist in Madrid because we are Alarpa. I can't go on. You take up the story from here.
No, it's too sad. I don't know, it was just like far too complicated, like as is often the case in Spain.
No, well, see, the thing is, right, I saw this group on Meetup, which is, well, you know what Meetup is, obviously, all of you listening, and I sent her an email, and she seemed very enthusiastic, and she gave us her number, and then you, Mary, eventually got in touch with her, and then we said, she offered us two options, to go and do an event, to do film something. We chose one of them. She said, you can't do that one. But actually, she's referencing a third option she never gave us. And then she offered us the one that we wanted to do as an alternative to that. And I was like, okay, great. Confusing, but let's do that one. And then she said, okay, if you want, I'll give you his contact. I said, great. Give me his contact, and she gave me her number again, which is just a habit. Minutes ago, we received that email, so I think our plan to make a harpist video, well, with this group at least, is dead in the water.
Well, and this is a call out for all harpists that are listening to us.
So, if you are a harpist, pluck those strings, and we shall hear you. Over the gentle breeze of Madrid. There's a harpist that plays outside the palace, the Palacio in Opera. Yes. We can approach him, give him 20 euros in a hat or something to pay for the privilege. And maybe we can do something with him. Yeah. But, you know, you win some, you lose some. You win some, you lose more. is the sad fact of life. So also as well, we are on Instagram. We've been on Instagram for a while, but we actually haven't started using it until very recently. You can find us on Alarpa. And you know what? I hate social media.
Do you know?
Yeah, no, it's kind of, there are some applications to Instagram, you know, if you, another way to plug the podcast. Nice if someone likes it, you know, some artist. There's one artist from Spain liked it and she makes some kind of cool stuff. So you can kind of see things and also follow people that you like, people like Pete McKinnon, who has a YouTube channel, does great tutorials about how to make videos, did a really super one recently about how to like take product photography for catalogs. He said it sounds super boring, but actually can be super creative, and he's a great guy to listen to, just full of passion, and you can just follow, like his photographs are insane, just like his videos are, they're just really cinematic, very big, and in their scope, beautiful to look at. So, you know, Instagram can be good for that kind of stuff. But then, inexplicably, you get a follower for no reason. Then you lose a follower for no reason. What does it all mean? I just don't know what it means. And I actually don't really care how many followers we have. I just want to put things up on the website or on the gram or the Twitter or the book of faces. And may the chips fall where they lay. I'm not going to lose too much over what followers we have or don't. I think, no?
I fully agree.
Great. By the way, can you speak louder into the mic? We're still getting letters.
No.
So, you know, and it's a pity because I wanted to record something for International Women's Day and make the joke, I finally allowed a woman on the podcast. But now, even though I've kind of said the joke and it's not International Women's Day anymore, it doesn't make any sense. So, but International Women's Day, well, there's two things we can talk about today. We're going to talk about our app in a way without giving away too much information.
Yeah.
But I want you to tell me about a woman that she's helping to save mud brick houses in Egypt. And then I'll tell you who I would nominate for a great woman.
Okay.
And then we can move on to the old, what shall I say, the app part of the programming.
Okay. Ah, Google, Caroline. Well, she's just a person from London that I met while I was doing my PhD. Lovely lady. That I spent a great deal of her life trying to protect Kurnawi houses. Kurna is a village near Luxor Which is probably, that name is probably more familiar to people. It's a very touristy place. And, well, it was just a hill with a lot of history and, you know, recorded by many early travelers, of which, of whom we've spoken about in previous podcasts. And really, visited by a lot of people and loved by a lot of people, and with a lot of like traditional ways of living for the community, which had the good of the or the bad luck of being built on top of tombs, of ancient Egyptian tombs.
In the book we reviewed in two podcasts ago, Geir Andersen, the Irish Pasha, there is a section of the book where he talks about Egyptians having to be moved, especially the poorest ones, because of the dam that they were building. And also you're doing something similar on the Aswan Dam. We won't go into that though, because I know you're still protective of that details. But there's a question I want to ask you. You know, in these battles for people with indigenous rights or for their homes, where would you locate this battle? Now, you might have like villagers or people in the forest having to move because some company comes in and buys the land, or you know, I remember watching a Gael Garcia Bernal do a video for Amnesty International talking about Mexican farmers that were giving a rough ride over their land rights, for example. So do you see this struggle for Egyptian homes and the Egyptians living there, the work that she's doing, is that something that can be associated with these type of are these the same as the Mexicans? Are these people the same as other groups fighting for their land rights, or is it something that's similar but a little bit different as well?
Well, I think it's similar in as far as, you know, people that have inhabited an area for a long time are being expelled from their houses, from their communities, to favor the interests of some other people. I mean, they all have that in common. In this case, that interest was tourism. As the Ministry of Antiquities, the Minister of Antiquities at the time remarked famously, he just talked about the houses as being like pollution for the tourism sites of Egypt. So, you know, it's hard to see how you can describe like people like that and where people live. So yeah, in that respect, you know, whether it's like the interest of international companies like multinationals, or whether it's a case of like wanting to protect a certain kind of tourism, in the end, we're just talking about, you know, people being forced to stop their way of life and forced to delete their history, basically, which is, of course, a disgrace.
Of course, which is, you know, in some ways how society works. Now, all these companies, you know, not to get too vague about it, but they want to advance society at a faster pace than people are willing to accept or are able to accept, and they just kind of ride roughshod over those rights. An interesting scenario, because I don't think it's probably part of most people's mental landscape when they think of these kind of issues. China happens quite a lot as well, with these huge dams being built, but I guess you wouldn't hear so much about that, because very little is reported that's contrary to what's happening, or not much is reported that's critical of the government. If you want more sexy dam action, I would recommend listening and watching to Haima, which is Sigur Rós's DVD of their home tour of Iceland, where they're protesting the building of a dam and play an acoustic concert where the wind dies down just for the concert, and as soon as they finish playing, the wind comes right back up again, which is very kind of interesting. And it's a very poetic and very beautiful and a very moving song as well, and also sung by very charming and wonderful musicians. You gave me a quote, I'll give you a quote in exchange. Completely different, it is.
Okay.
Vladimir Lenin.
Wow.
Ilyich Lenin, in case you're confused with Vladimir John Lennon or something. When he's talking about music, he said, I can't listen to it for a long time because it makes you want to say stupid things and hug people when what you need is a cold heart.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so that's the end of the introduction from a book about Lennon that I'm reading at the moment. And it is a great way to end the chapter. And I just want to throw it in there. You gave me a great quote. Here is another great quote for you. Do with it what you will. Do with it what you will. Well, thank you for explaining that. Who I was going to say for kind of like great women and all that. Mary Shelley's book, Frankenstein, has its anniversary this year. She wrote that book famously as a bet because there was a period of really bad weather in England and she was there with her soon-to-be husband. And who was the other fella? I can't remember. Very famous. Possibly Byron. I don't know.
There's only a small chance he might have been.
I don't know who it was. They basically wrote a ghost. They had to write a ghost story because the weather was shocking. It was pissing rain. And she went off and wrote Frankenstein, which is...
A movie about this?
Well, there's several movies about that. One with Kenneth Branagh. Well, no, he directed it and Robert De Niro is the monster. And it's actually interesting. It's taken on a new meaning this year because a lot of quotation marks snowflakes, kind of younger millennials, liberals that the conservatives hate, have been arguing that Frankenstein was misunderstood by society.
Oh yeah,
a lot of conservative media calling them snowflakes for kind of, I don't know, politicizing Frankenstein.
Isn't that obvious though?
Well, it's a book that is wonderful because it does kind of go into these ideas of what it means to be human, which is an idea that you do see again in other cultural forms, but it's done very well in this book. Of course, it's a classic and it is a truly, great horror story, even for those who don't like horror stories. The most interesting thing about this, well, at least for me, there was a great review of the book to honor the anniversary. And, you know, the monster comes alive with electricity and all these different things. And that's because at the time as well, her soon-to-be husband had a huge fascination in this process where doctors and people interested in studying the human body would electrocute those bodies, those dead bodies, those corpses, to see what would happen, maybe bring it back to life, to reanimate it in some way, or see what the effect would be on it. So that kind of ghoulish, gory way of Frankenstein being brought alive, it's alive with electricity, is based on the curiosity of that time as well. So it's kind of interesting for that as well. You're going to hate this next part, but it's going to be very brief. It's because I want to mention an episode of Star Trek, The Next Generation. Now, I know you're not a Trekkie, but there is a great episode.
I can do the finger thing.
Well, the first season is terrible. It ran for 7 seasons, and there's an episode in the second season, I believe, which is the first, well, it's considered the first great Star Trek episode. It's where Data, the robot, the android, Starfleet, which is the group that they're working for, that sends these ships out into space to explore the whole thing, want to basically take him offline so they can make reproductions of him. And it sets up this episode-long, questioning of what is human, what is consciousness, what is a soul, what rights do people have. And it's fascinating because the court case is done very well. Number one, what's his name, Riker, he has to like be the prosecutor and say Data, his friend, isn't human or isn't like a living being. And Data has to defend himself, and Captain Picard, who's the captain of the ship, of course, and the best captain in the Star Trek canon, if you ask me, has to defend him as well. No, it's a truly great episode because it does like ask serious questions, and also with the obvious limitations of things that we can't really answer. We don't know where the soul starts, you know, or where like, how can you measure consciousness? There's no accurate measure of what consciousness is, of course, and this is a very fascinating subject, but, even today, with robots and things that have greater awareness, there are people arguing that we need to build human rights for these things, or they have to have rights and responsibilities, and kind of consider these objects not as exactly human, but give them kind of a role in society that represent, that recognizes that they are, if not conscious beings, but things that have like some kind of autonomy, and treat them almost like humans. And if they commit a crime, do something wrong, there's a penalty, but also they have to be protected, like a worker would be protected as well. So, and there's no easy answer to these issues, but this is a show that takes what was also done in Frankenstein and elaborates on it, and something that can be applied to real life as well, which is what the best thing is about stories, where they can be applied to real life also. Okay, so, fascinating, amazing. So, the last part of this podcast will be talking about the audio guides that we have been working on. We've just started today, without giving too much away. You compiled the first one, which is a little walk, 25 minutes around the barrio of Jamboree. You have a lot of tidbits, interesting things into that guide. Where did you pull this stuff from? Where did you get your inspiration for this, Father Ted?
Well, I mean, part of it are just things I knew because I grew up in that neighborhood, so
yeah.
You know, and then, well, I asked a few things to my parents, but a lot of things, well, just like from internet sources and National Library and documents like that, so.
Okay.
Bit of everything.
A little bit of everything. And is it true you have 5 hours of 17th century Baroque music?
Yes, that's true. Yes, I well, wanted to get into the atmosphere of what life would have been like then, so.
Now, if we were doing a video and wanted some free music, we probably would go to Free Music Archive,
mm-hmm.
which is a great website for non-copyrighted music across all genres.
Yeah.
But where do you get four or five hours of Baroque music?
Well, you know, good old YouTube has everything that you need. And, well, I mean, really, all music like that, well, it's usually out of copyright anyway. So.
Well, I presume you've investigated thoroughly the licensing.
Of course.
Good.
That's how we work.
You do legal stuff?
Sure.
I do other non-defined things.
I'm the legal part of us.
So, I don't know, obviously we can't share too much because the idea is that you download the app, and if you're in Madrid, you walk around these streets and learn as you go along. But is there something that you can share with us?
That's just gonna be exciting because people will have a little bit of a map just to help them walk around.
Okay.
But then, well, it won't just be facts, you know, one fact after another that they will listen to, like in a normal audio guide, but there will be a lot of other things that will allow for a more rapping experience, I'll call it.
Well, because we've recorded in situ in the barrio, and also we'll use music, and also we will use appropriate sound effects. We have to find.
I thought we weren't giving it away.
Well, they're not going to hear what the fuck it is, will they? If we tell them, we'll have a forge sound effect, and that'll be fun finding that. Like they can imagine like shh, 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 but also like they won't actually know what we actually have chosen until they download the app, my darling. So, okay, don't give me that look. That's around this time. Every podcast around this time, I get that look.
Well, you should wonder why.
I have looked inside internally and realized it's not my fault, and it's something wrong with you. But anyway, doesn't matter. So that is what we've been working on. More news as it comes. So I think that's pretty much everything, though.
Yes, it is, and we stuck it all in one part. So.
Yeah, that new format. We'll just for this week, we'll just do the whole, you know, talk it, music, and we'll go back to part 1, 2, and 3 next week, sure.
Okay.
You know, what's the crack, you know?
Sure.
So, find us on alarpamedia.com, alarpa1 on Twitter, alarpamedia on Instagram, or the gram, if you want to call it that. And also on Patreon, you can find us as well, patreon.com/alarpa. Please give us some money. And we will be back. Well, on Thursday, obviously, we'll be doing more of the audio guides. We'll be filming a little bit as well. Not doing any harp stuff for this sexy St. Patrick's Day weekend. So happy St. Patrick's Day. La Fela San Patricio. And
for
example, before we go, what's your favorite part of St. Patrick's Day?
The Guinness beer that I never drink.
Okay, well, good answer. So this is me from the Elaborate Podcast saying goodbye.
And me saying bye.